Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce Betty Jo from Oshiko.
Hi, Betty Jo Alcoholic.
Hi.
Wow. Okay, I'll start off with my sobriety date, which is May 22nd, 2014. You know, sometimes I get a little fuzzy on that. I don't know why, you know, and stuff. But it was the day that, you know, has changed the course of my life up until now, you know, and stuff. And I didn't even realize it. When they talk about definitely hang on to your seats because you're in for a ride, you definitely are. Welcome to the newcomer, Joanna. So did I get the name right? Yeah. All right, welcome. Always glad to see the newcomers in here. You know, Kim talked about stuff, you know, such as I'm here to support a friend. That's what we do. We support each other. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. Felina talked about we don't do this alone. We definitely don't do it alone. And happy birthday, ladies. You know, you guys have paved the way. You guys were already setting those stones for someone like me when I came in. And that's what I try to do for the newcomer. I, you know, try to also set those stones, too, that someone has already set for me. And we just keep giving it, you know, putting, you know, passing it forward. you know, too, you know, always said, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I'm just going to talk. And whatever comes out. And I hope somebody hears something that, you know, can help them or, you know, it resonates with them and stuff. I used to get super nervous the first time, you know, when I was first asked to lead, even for like a 5-minute one, you know, in a regular meeting. I'm a little nervous, but not so much because I'm comfortable. You know, you guys are all in your underwear right now. So, you know, it's like, just kidding. I mean, I know you guys are all just like me. There's nothing different. We're all the same. You know, we might not know each other by first name or we might. But we all have the same disease. You know, we all have the same bottom line. Doesn't matter how we got here, just as long as we got here. Yesterday, I had the privilege of also, service is huge for me. I love being in service. It comes natural. I did it, you know, started from day one. So when they talked about that, now working the steps and doing all that, reading the big book, that's a little more challenging. But the service part, I'm all over it. No problem there. And I was able to host it with many other women that helped too, 240 women at a luncheon. And one gal came up to me, I'd never met her before, and she said, you know, I'm just standing in the room and I'm just in such, you know, emotional. She goes, every single woman in this room is a miracle. Just like right now, tonight, every single person right here, right now, no matter how much time you have, because we all only have one day, we are all miracles and stuff. earlier this year, my son passed away from, you know, one of our, you know, our diseases and stuff. So it's been a very, very, you know, trying year. So when we think, you know, we're coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, things are going to get perfect. Things will get better. They will. But life's going to be in session and things are going to happen. He saw me for many years working the program. He saw me drinking. He saw me working the program. And of course, there's nothing more than a parent that wants that same for their child. But everybody has their own battle to, you know, battle, you know, their own, you know, addiction to battle. And I was able to walk through it, you know, gracefully in, you know, a lot of ways because people in this program showed up for me. I mean, so much that it was overwhelming. I mean, it was awesomely overwhelming how much the people in this program have showed up for me. And you just have to be willing to let that happen. Because, you know, like I said, my love language is service. So it's hard to allow that to happen. So when you get to that point for that to happen, you know, there's growth, that spiritual growth. You know, yesterday sitting in that room just watching, you know, I just stood in the back and just scanned the whole room of all the ladies while the speaker, main speaker was speaking. It's powerful, powerful, powerful. I mean, this program is beyond amazing. I came into this program with not knowing what this was about at all. I had no idea what AA was about. You know, I thought it was drunks, you know, trench coats under the bridge, brown paper bags. You know, I didn't know people actually could have lives and be functioning to a certain point, that they could be alcoholics. you know, I came into, you know, we can call it a back door when I came into this program. You know, and then when I kept coming back, and then they challenged me, and they said, come, you know, do 90 meetings in 90 days, and I'm like, well, heck, I'm going to do 180, you know, and stuff, because I'm going to show them how it's done, you know, that kind of stuff. But you know what? It kept me coming back. And then when I heard service, I'm like, I can do that. Yeah, that kept me coming back. I keep a healthy fear today of going back out. When I hear people, and they have 20 plus years, 30 years, even 10 years, 5 years, and they go back out, that really scares me. I mean, you know, because it's like, then that makes me be more on point, you know, kind of going, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, am I, you know, following the guidelines of the suggestions, you know, of our program? So it does, it scares me. You know, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I would have stood on, you know, the tip of my head to tell you I was not an alcoholic. I drank as a teenager, did not drink in my 20s and 30s because I was being a mom and a wife, and, you know, that was very what I was supposed to do. You know, that's what I thought I was supposed to be doing. Then my youngest was almost 18. I was in my 40s, and I thought, oh, it's my turn. Yeah, my turn. I think Kim talked about a wino. I was like, oh, box wine. This is awesome. We can do this. Oh, there's all these beautiful wineries. We can start doing this. I was very well known to carry cases of wine in my car at all times, any place. You know, I had memberships at like 7 different wineries because I thought, well, you know, I'm not a bottom, you know, down in the dirt kind of drunk. I have memberships at wineries. You know, I laugh at it now and it's just so ridiculous, the mindset, you know, and stuff. But, you know, I thought, oh, if I go pick up a case of wine and go drink it and cause havoc, throw people, lock people out of the hotel rooms, throw food around, you know, just completely out of control. But I was drunk, so I thought I gave myself a pass because of that. I had a coworker. She was amazing. She supported me in that. She's like, well, were you drunk? And I said, well, yeah. She goes, it doesn't count. You know, so those are the kind of people that I like hanging out with. You know, because I would take her out drinking with me. You know, she came along very willingly. And when she was falling down drunk, then I didn't look as bad. But, you know, I was usually right next to her, on top of her, or trying to do something. Yeah, so it's about the same. I also have an amazing story because there's someone in the room, other than my other half here, that saw me drinking. You know, she got to see the wrath of it. Guess who my first amends was, too? Yeah, you know, that's what this program does. You know, it teaches us that, you know, we don't have to live in our past. We can move forward. We can make those amends. An unfortunate situation came up the other day, not too long ago, and I totally failed at it. Totally failed at what I should have been doing. You know, I did not show any kind of love, kindness, patience whatsoever. I mean, I kind of did. There were some things I didn't do that I would have done before, so that I kind of thought, oh, a little progress there. But I could have been so much more, you know, in control. You know, so I'll get to work on that with my sponsor. I have the opportunity. But a drink never comes to my mind. You know, after an incident like that, I don't say, oh, well, screw it. I want to go drink now. When my son passed, I never thought of a drink. You know, did not. You know, I had so much support, so many people to go to. Just immersed myself in the program, just as it, you know, as it's designed to do. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Again, when I came in the program and I did not know anything about this, you know, this disease, I had no idea. You know, I thought, you know, I was a grown woman. I worked, I had a house, I have a car. My children are still talking to me, even though they picked me up from the drunk tank because it was April Fool's and I backed into somebody that was illegally parked. So then I called the cops on myself and they arrested me and took me in. But then he put me in the front seat. And, you know, even though he had already given me the test right then and there and all that, the breathalyzer, I guess it is, then I said, oh, I want to go to the hospital and get, you know, the blood drawn. He goes, okay. So I really thought I was special, you know, up there, especially driving and being in the front seat. I'm like, I'm not as bad as those other drunks that get thrown in the back. That kind of stuff happens to me. And I still thought I was not an alcoholic when I walked into the rooms. So what happens is then you start listening to people's stories when they talk about things. You know, there was a guy, and many of you probably know him, Johnny O. He talked about being drunk on 4th Street, being arrested, fighting the cops, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I was on 4th Street. I didn't fight anybody. I was just passed out till my daughter and her boyfriend came and picked me up. And I'm like, that's not okay to do. Okay. But, and when I got arrested, I mean, I went to the drunk tank and then got released like in the wee hours. Went home, picked up my car because they didn't tow it because, again, I'm special. Picked up the car, drove down the street because it was not very far from where I live, and went to work. How can you be an alcoholic if you can still function that way? That's how tricky, you know, baffling this disease is. I mean, it had me completely convinced that, no, you are not an alcoholic. The blessings of the rooms, you come in, you feel the laughter, you feel the love. You know, and it's just, there's just something there. And, you know, it draws you back. What's that saying? The body comes, the mind will follow kind of thing. That's what happened. You know, that definitely is what happened to me. You know, I just get to keep coming back. You know, my sponsor always says it's good to be in a meeting sober. And it really is. I mean, how simple can it be? I mean, that's all we have to do. There's some steps, traditions we follow, a big book. You know, I'm just going to read something out of it because I can say all kinds of words, whether they make sense or not. But if you read out of the big book, then, you know, there's something there. It was always a favorite part when I, you know, read through it, other than that other one that talks about seldom being sober, because I was seldom sober. I mean, I was mildly, you know, I was always intoxicated all the time. And this one here on the bottom of page 87, into action. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer in charge, running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. For me, I have not mastered that at all. Not at all. You know, I get to be honest, you know, in a meeting like this. You know, I don't get to pretend and go, oh, yeah, I got it. Got that under control. No, I have not. There are many times at the end of the day where I'm just mentally exhausted because I'm like going, shh, you know, I did not do what I, you know, the right decisions, you know, and stuff. I was still in self-pity. I was still being foolish, you know. So today I get to work on that all the time. I do recognize it now today. So that's progress on my end. You know, now it's just the part turning, you know, that I no longer run the show. You know, I always thought, oh, I'm not controlling things. I'm just being helpful. Yeah, that helpfulness, you know. Yeah, so, you know, like today I don't have to control it even though I want to. It's just kind of like a natural instinct for me. So it's a battle. When I was drinking, I didn't care. I did not care who or what or when or why or where. I just drank. I was a blackout drinker. I thought it was pretty much of a waste of time if you drank one or two and got a light buzz. I thought, what a waste and what a wussy you are. You know, I was going to drink to get drunk. That was my motto as I walked into bars. You know, I got kicked out of bars, but I never got 86. So I thought, I'm still doing good, you know, and stuff. They just kicked me out for the day. I'm like, okay, I'll be back tomorrow. Today, life has, you know, like I said, this past year has been probably one of the hardest years in my life, and I hope to not ever have to go through anything like that again. But what I get to see what this program has done for me is that I don't have to drink through stuff like that. Nothing is worth a drink whatsoever. So if anybody is struggling today, you guys, you know, I'm happy to talk to you after the meeting. You know, or anything like that, because we don't have to drink over anything at all. You know, I drank over everything before. I had that compulsion. I had that desire. I don't have that desire for the drink anymore, and I don't even know when it happened. Just all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah. The only time I kind of think about a drink, well, no, we talk about it other than that, because my other half is in the program, too. And, you know, and then dealing with my son when he was alive, I don't have the compulsion to drink, and it's such a freeing experience to not have that. When I was at work, another coworker, she'd always go, do you hear that? And I'm like, no, what are you hearing? We're waitressing. So I'm like, are you hearing somebody calling for something or asking for something? She says, no, that's Budweiser calling my name, you know, and stuff. And I was like, okay. She was just saying what I was feeling, you know, and stuff. I mean, you know, it was like I helped manage the restaurant. I was all done with my side work and all the stuff I had to do. The other girls weren't. My responsibility as part of management is to help them and do that. No, what did I do? I said, you guys take your time. I'll be back in a little bit. Let me know when you're done. I'll come back and lock up. Because I went to go drink. you know, and I thought I had the right to drink because I was done with my stuff. When they talk about being a liar, a cheat, and a thief, I thought, well, I'm not stealing stuff from a store. Well, I didn't tell the owner, I didn't tell my boss that I did that. You know, that's being a liar, cheating a thief right there, because I was cheating him out of his time. I wasn't a quality employee. And by not saying anything, that's omission. I'm lying to him, you know, stuff. I'm not being honest. So those kind of things will catch up with someone like me. You know, if you don't clear the path, you don't clear the road, those kind of things will definitely catch up with this alcoholic. I, unfortunately, do overthink a lot of stuff, and it, you know, it takes a lot of space in my head when things happen, you know, and stuff. It's just like over and over and over constantly. And it'll manifest in a lot of different ways. You know, I have this sleep thing going on. I mean, I sleep right through it, but things are happening. you know, but today I get to take care of it. You know, I get to make those appointments with, you know, the primary, then with the specialist, and it all takes time. You know, and you can just all of a sudden go, never mind, I'm just fine. I don't know what's going on. Other people know what's going on, but I don't. It's one of those bizarre things. But I get to be, you know, responsible today. You know, so when things are happening like that, things are manifesting in different ways. Our bodies, you know, react differently. So I look forward to taking care of, you know, like my health and, you know, stuff like that. But otherwise I would have. When I came in the program, I even did stuff, when I was drinking, it lasted 5-6 years. I had like 6 years of taxes that I hadn't even done. I was going to get money back. I knew it. But I didn't want to waste my time to go sit with, you know, the tax preparer for even 30 minutes because that would take away from drinking. It was like money in the bank, I would tell myself. You know, that's kind of silly. I mean, that kind of stuff I wasn't doing. So, you know, when I thought, oh, well, I'm making, you know, my, you know, mortgage payment, I'm paying my light bills and stuff. But there was still a lot of other things I wasn't taking care of. And so when life started to become unmanageable, sometimes it sneaks up like that. Even though it was like going to benefit me, it will sneak up on us like that. And then more and more and more. If I kept drinking, I knew I wouldn't, I probably wouldn't be alive today because, you know, I did not drink lightly. I know time's not up yet. So it's not our car? Yeah. Everybody's car, but yeah, so I'm just grateful today. I try to live in gratitude as much as possible. But it's and like I said, you know, every single day there's a challenge no matter what. My daughter and my grandchildren live with me. And they are busy little boys, very, very busy little boys. And my daughter is going through her own stuff too. But we, if I was drinking, I would have been like out at the bar the whole time. But today I get to help her walk through things that she needs to walk through and stuff. So, yeah, it's just crazy what life can throw at us in many ways. Wasn't the car?
White Dodge.
Oh, White Dodge. Nope, not here tonight. Okay. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, there's one thing that my sponsor has always instilled in me. She says, you know, when there's things that I haven't done, she's like, just pray for willingness, you know, pray to be willing, for willingness to be willing, to be willing. And again, that sounds super, super simple, doesn't it? I mean, you think, yeah, I can just pray for willingness to be willing to pray. It's easier said than done. You know, and stuff at times. It doesn't always just happen, you know, easily and quickly. It's, especially, you know, like I said, there was a situation that happened and I'm just constantly beating myself up because I thought, wow, I feel like I've done so much progress and this and that and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Even talked to some of the people at church and things like that and, you know, they, you know, are working through it with me and I can beat myself up because then I'm just like, I could have handled things so much better. I had the opportunity, you know, and stuff, and I didn't, you know, I did not. But I don't have to drink over it. You know, I get to work through it instead of, you know, drinking over it, because then it would just make things so much worse that way. We, again, listening to people's stories when they come into the program or they're already there, I thought I had nothing in common with anybody in the rooms. There's also another gentleman in the room that when I walked in, I don't know, it was a couple meetings maybe into it and stuff, he's all, open up the big book. And I'm like, okay. He's all, see what's on that first page? And I said, yeah. This one's written in, but it wasn't. He said, I go, yeah, there's nothing on there. And he's all, yeah, that's what you know, nothing. I don't know who would have said that, but yeah. And then, you know, I kind of thought about it, and, you know, I chuckled and laughed, you know, because I thought, oh, yeah, that's kind of a funny little joke. But as time passed, I knew exactly the message they were passing along to me. You know, we come into these rooms, we really don't know anything. Start with a clean slate and open up your, you know, your mind, your ears and all that to be able to listen and have that willingness to work the program fully and thoroughly. You know, it talks about half measures of Ellis, nothing. It really doesn't. You know, it's like having one foot in the door and one out the door. You know, that's not going to work. I mean, that's where misery will step in. And again, for that, for this alcoholic, it can take me out. Yeah, so I don't know. It's just every day I'm blown away by this program and what it does for us, what it does for someone like me. You know, very stubborn, very hard-headed, and I actually have learned to have an open mind, you know, to some things. Not always when I'm driving down the road. Sometimes I'm like, why are they not going faster? I try not to flip anybody off anymore. Yeah, because, you know, these days you just never know what might happen. No, just kidding. I really try not to. And there's a couple of times where it just, and it's like, it's usually when I'm running late. So other cars, you know, around me definitely don't have any responsibility to go fast for me. But it's like, can they just scoot over? How selfish and self-centered that is on my end. You know, I did not realize how selfish and self-centered I was till I came into this program. You know, and also, too, when I thought I was not an alcoholic, and then somebody says, well, you just had a high bottom. And, you know, she said, not everybody has to be, you know, lose a house, lose a car, lose this, lose that, to be an alcoholic. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, things got explained to me like that by many people throughout the years. You know, when somebody said you surrender, I thought surrendering is like losing the battle. But it was a battle I was happily, you know, to get rid of it, you know, like lose the battle, you know, get rid of alcoholism or just not drink anymore. So that was, you know, to wave the white flag. I always thought that that was, you know, you were defeated. I was defeated, you know, with the disease. Justifiable anger. Oh, man, I felt like I had mastered it so well that any and everything that made me upset, I could tell you exactly why and how come and why I could be justified with my anger. What's happened over the years, that anger, that justifiable anger actually started controlling my life and controlled my life 100%. You know, and that's not a place I want to live or how I want to live that way. They talk about humility. Again, that was another word that I thought, you know, no one wants to have, you know, feel humility. Who wants to feel that? No one does. But today I understand that that word has so much more meaning to it. To be humble in our program and who we are and what we do. And to not be ashamed, you know, of what we're going through and to be open and honest and talk to people about things. For me, you know, to be, you know, to have a secret is like, your secrets, as sick as you are, you know, for your secrets. I messed that one all up, of course. Hopefully you guys know what I mean. So yeah, I know. So yeah, it's, I can't do that because it will just, you know, mess with my head. Yeah, it will mess with my head big time. So yeah, so I get to practice these, you know, principles, the traditions, the steps, the book. You know, someone just asked the other day, can we start reading the big book? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I have that willingness, that desire to do that. You know, where before I might have said no, now it's a matter of doing the action. Because, you know, I know we can all talk a talk, you know, it's a matter of getting into action, walking the walk. Doing the deed today, not just, you know, saying this is what I'm going to do, and then not ever do it. So that's where it starts, you know, the one I just read of, into action. That's where the footwork starts. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I know it's not quite 8 o'clock, but, you know, I think I might be kind of done. I shared that one time, you know, I said, I don't know. It was with Johnny O, too. I talked to him a lot. He was there when I came in. He was, you know, a staple. And I said, I go, yeah, I was so nervous I couldn't finish. He goes, oh, well. He goes, when you're done, you're done. He goes, after 20 minutes, he said one time he shared, and he says, he goes, I think I'm done. He goes, I went blank, and that was it, you know. But, shoot, you can get me on the phone. I could talk to you for like 2 or 3 hours. After a meeting, we can be there till midnight. It's like when we're put on the spot, you know. It's like, yeah, I always have so much to say, you know, and stuff. But I think I'm there right about now, so we're good. Okay, thank you.
Let's give Betty Jo another round of applause.